Hey, this is Sean Amos, and they say it ain't easy being green.
Are you ready?
Can't wait.
The New York Jets
can beat any day in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Being green. The New York Jets.
I think Jeff fans.
Bird, Brady,
Bird. Very passionate.
Bird, Brady, Bird.
Thank you, all you fans.
They got their guy.
Darnold falling to the Jets.
Sam Darnold.
That's such an upside.
I think Jeff fans.
Very passionate.
Brady sucks. Y'all feel sucks.
To all the non-believers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Ain't Easy Being Green podcast, broadcasting to you live from beautiful, amazing, picturesque Crystal Lake Studios in Putnam Bower, New York. My name is Keith Farrell. I am joined, as always, by my colleague and co-host, none other than the biggest Jet fan in the state of Texas, Michael Legarris, everyone.
Yo! What's good, everybody?
And the man to the right of me, ready to rock and roll, the number one NFL podcasting correspondent in the game today, the big stinking Wookiee, Nicholas Kronk, everyone.
What's going on, everybody? Buckle up.
We weren't able to join you last week. You know, I had a little scare in my family. My dad wasn't feeling well, so that's why we had to take off last week. Everything's fine now. He's doing much better. That's what was going on. We're back this week. Mike, we got some news and notes here to talk about with Joe Douglas, with Adam Gase. A few little Jet things to get to. We're going to talk about the CBA. We're going to talk a little bit about the Combine. We're going to talk about a little bit about fighting, Deontay Wilder. We're going to try to do that more here on the podcast, guys. Talk about other things, fighting maybe, any other things that come up. And before we do the show, sometimes we talk for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Then do the show.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of opinions on many different things, so we'll get into the fight later, too. I really want to talk about that. Wilder, Fury Part 2. A little disappointing for me how it ended, but, you know, Fury's a beast. Wilder's a beast. They'll come back again, get it done again. But Michael, the big news this week, at least in Jet World, is that our GM, who last year when he got signed at a press conference throughout the year, he was available to the media, but you didn't necessarily hear too much from Joe Douglas,
right,
which you kind of like.
Oh, yeah.
I think Gettleman maybe takes that to the extreme with the not even talking to the media at all.
And then when you
that's
do,
a little too much.
You're an idiot.
Yes. I think Douglas last year just kind of, it wasn't really his team. He didn't get to put too much of his fingerprint on it.
Right.
So he just kind of laid back in the cut last year, did what he could. But Mike, he had some things to say this week, didn't he?
He did. He addressed some of the major narratives that have been being discussed around the team. One, Le'Veon Bell getting traded. He put that to rest. He said that he is not calling anybody about Le'Veon Bell. He didn't say he wouldn't listen if somebody were to call him, but he pretty much put it to bed and saying that Bell will be part of this team going forward. To be honest with you, I'm very happy to hear that. One of the things that he said that I really took note of was that he made offensive line the highest priority for him to do as a GM to rebuild this offseason. And I think, and you think, and the rest of us all know that that is the number one priority. So it was really good to hear him talk about that. Brian Winner's possible return, he was talking. Now, one thing I want Jet fans to understand, I know that we want to move on from Brian Winner's. A lot of us have said that because we'll be able to save $7 million on the cap. And, you know, but Brian Winner's, to be honest, has been playing injured the past two seasons. It's unfortunate. It's bad luck. One was a issue with his stomach or something with his intestine.
Yeah.
Or something.
It was
some
type of internal issue. You're right.
It was a core issue. And then the next one had to do with his shoulder. And look, he was still out there trying. So, you know, I will give the GM benefit of the doubt. He did play offensive line. He has been around really strong organizations and how those organizations were built. He was a part of that, the Eagles, the Bears, the Baltimore Ravens. So if he decides to keep Winners, then I trust the direction there. And the other major news that he was talking about was the goal to make Jamal Adams a Jet for life. And that's something you and I, Keith, have discussed about, because when you draft a player, the goal is for that player to be in the Ring of Honor and to actually retire in the Hall of Fame with your team. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want the best player at every position that you draft. Well, Jamal Adams, we happen at number 6 overall to select the best safety in the NFL. And he's already the best in the NFL. I understand the concept of trading him to get draft capital. I understand that. But when you have a guy who brings value, not just on, but off the field too, leadership, is attractive to free agents to where they wish to play with a player like Jamal Adams, a guy who increases the brand of the franchise, that's a guy I want always. And it looks like they've already started negotiating on a contract extension for him to make him the highest paid safety in the NFL. And I'm very happy to see that. So, and then lastly, really, they did some interviews with some of the combine players. We're going to get into it later. Already interviewing Mekhi Becton, left tackle out of Louisville, and Andrew Thomas. Both met with the Jets. So that was very good to look and see that Joe Douglas's priority is the offensive line.
Yeah, Mike, you know, it's one thing that Douglas said that I like. Cause it's something you and I have wondered about, at least ourselves here. Now, this could have just be GM speak. It could be because you're not going to speak badly about an asset you're currently in possession of.
Right.
Because then even if you did want to trade him, that's not smart
to
do. But he did say when he was asked about Bell, because, you know, he was asked if his play declined last year, because it was his worst stats he's had in a while.
Yep.
He doesn't agree with that. He said he didn't think the play declined at all. And he just said they have to do a better job opening up holes for him, which is kind of obvious. You know, that goes without saying. Compared some of the stats last year were ridiculous. And him not getting traded, if that's the truth, then that's encouraging, just because I do think Bell's still one of the better running backs in the league.
Yep.
And I do think if he has a good offensive line, he could be tremendous. And he showed it in spurts last year. We just didn't have that offensive line. Teams could pretty key in on him pretty easily. And, you know, when it comes to Jamal Adams, Mike, and that's my favorite Jet. He's been my favorite Jet for a long time. He's my favorite Jet we've had on the team in a long time. Very motivational guy. Leads by example. You know, on the field out there, he's just tremendous. All pro this year. Without question, I think he's the best safety in the league. And if the Jets are going to go ahead and give him a contract for the next, you'll probably get a 5-year contract, I'm thinking, Mike, something of that nature. That would be tremendous, because they did, you know, they had a couple different contracts there with Revis, and they lost him for a few years, and he came back. But Jamal Adams, almost to me, means more to the Jets than what Revis meant to the Jets when he was a Jet.
Agreed.
I think he means so much more because of how he operates as a leader. Different type of personalities, those two guys. Revis was super chill.
Right.
Revis was completely lead by my play, not so much my mouth.
Yep.
Jamal Adams does both.
Yep.
You know, and Jamal Adams is not shy with the media. He's not shy being passionate. He's not shy saying what he has to say. I think he's somebody that you really do get behind as a franchise and a team.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you're going to give the big money to one or two guys on defense, I know defensive ends usually are who gets that.
Right.
And corners.
That's the guy.
Those are the two defensive guys. But in this situation, this is unique. Because I know it's a safety, but it's not just any safety.
Right.
You know, he's getting sacks every year. He's you know, when you look at his stats, sometimes his stats don't even give you a true picture of how much he affects the game.
Right.
You know, and he's such a good player that was encouraging to hear, and I do think they're going to get it done with Jamal Adams, get him signed long term. And I'm pretty sure that's what every Jet fan wants, Mike.
Absolutely, and now is the time to do it. The quarterback isn't making all the crazy money. They're in a rebuilding stage. Go ahead and pay that money now. Get it structured, get it laid out over the next couple of years, and you lock him up for the next 5 years as the top paid safety in the National Football League. He deserves it. He is the best safety in the National Football League, and he's the best player on the New York Jets, and happens to be my favorite player. What were your thoughts about the story around Bell being overweight and out of shape? Now, I know that wasn't something that came, I would think, from Joe Douglas's camp, but it does go to show you that there are those in the New York Jets organization that are leaking things like this. And my number one suspect would be the coach or those who work closely with the coach.
Well, I wouldn't put it past
him. I'm like, I was thinking that exactly. As you were saying what you were saying, I'm like, he's going to say Gase.
Yep.
And I thought it was Gase too. Like, when you said that, I was like, who else is it going to be?
Yeah, well, like I said
sneaky
a moment ago, like,
the burner account.
No general manager, unless somebody is a head case or a problem in that way,
right?
No general manager is going to try to devalue an asset.
No.
You know, so that's not probably Joe Douglas. So that makes sense. Mike's, you know, train of logic there. It makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And, you know, I heard that too, Mike, and I thought it was a little strange because when he came into the season last year, all you heard was he's in the best shape, this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
At least when the year started. Now, what the hell do we know? We're not in the locker room with him. I didn't hear anyone say that during the year. So, I mean, how do you get to February in that? That's a thing. That whole thing, that seems kind of shady.
Yeah, and that's Adam Gase for you. I mean, again, is it proven? No, but he's a shady guy, you know. Just look at the actions that took place last year during the draft. Mike Maccagnan was in the drafting room all by himself. There was nobody else there. Do you think that that was a coincidence or that was something that Adam Gase just wanted to divorce himself of that entire process because he wanted nothing to do with Mike Maccagnan and then stabbed him in the back afterward?
It seems like Gase is one of these guys that thinks he's smarter than he is.
Right.
And thinks like everyone else is just an idiot. You know, and when you get caught out there so many times, I mean, he didn't have great relationships, at least was reported, with the players in Miami.
Right.
He yelled at the owner down there. When we hired him, we went through it. You can go back, guys. We've got episodes in the archives. Yep. Our most listened to episode we've ever had, AEBG World, is Adam Gase, Franchise Killer.
Yeah.
Now, I lost my mind on that episode. Maybe I should do that more often.
We all did.
Mike and I were so upset at the way he maneuvered Maccagnan out. It had nothing to do with Maccagnan doing a good job because he wasn't doing a good job.
Right, true.
At least before the draft last year and that draft class, whatever the case may be, and that free agent class, that wasn't the point.
No.
That's not the point at all. It's how he went about it.
Yeah.
And just, you don't have the credibility in this league
to do that.
Oh, yeah. Right. You're not Andy Reid. You're not Bill Belichick.
Right.
You know, you're not Mike McCarthy even. No. You're not any of these dudes.
No.
Team hated you. The owner hated you of your previous job. So if that's your resume and then you go to interview, if you're an engineer, like I'm an audio engineer for my job.
Right.
If I go to interview at the next place and they call where I just worked for a reference and they say, well, to be honest, his performance wasn't great and he was a jerk to everyone.
Right.
Hard to get hired.
Yeah.
Right? With the Jets, though, Chris Johnson's like, come right in.
Yeah, let's bring this guy.
Come right in. You sound like a great fit for New York. You know, and we saw it went the way it went last year. They ended up 7-9. You know, so at the second half of the season, they did right the ship. But these type of things, a comment one way, then a comment the other way about Le'Veon Bell. This is what he does. He flip flops all over the place.
Yeah,
I don't respect people like that. You know, I respect people that, whatever it is they think, either they keep it to themselves or they say it, and then if you ask them 2 months later, they think the same thing. You guys know how I am.
Right.
I agree. It bothers me, and it scares me. My biggest fear is that next year. Now, before I get in there, one of the things that Douglas said is that offensive continuity was something that the team is going to be looking forward to. It's the first time that all the coaches all came back. Sam will be in the same offense for a second year. You know, we'll be able to build on the things that the successes that were executed from the previous year. But what scares me is that if Adam Gase still hasn't improved really as a coach and being able to run correct screens and whatnot, that he would quickly throw Sam Darnold under the bus and try to get him removed as well. That's the type of snake I believe Adam Gase is. So, you know, throwing narratives around from Bell, you know, even like you said, flip flopping Robbie Anderson, he wasn't a fan of.
And Mike, you know what else? I want to give you an analogy, Mike, and I want to hear what you think about this. So, say you have two seeds, or the same seed.
Right.
You give one to a gardener who knows what he's doing. You give the other seed to someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
They both take those seeds back to their homes. They plant those seeds.
Yep.
Each of those people try to raise those seeds the same way. The gardener who knows what he's doing cultivates the seed to a beautiful, amazing a rose bush with beautiful roses everywhere blooming. The person who doesn't know what they're doing, their seed doesn't even grow. It dies on the vine. Yeah. And I don't want that to happen. That seed in this analogy is Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Mike. And so we have this seed. We planted it. We had Todd Bowles 1 year, Adam Gase the second year. Adam Gase will be his coach's third year. He's still only 22 years old. Yeah. I don't want there to be any type of, you know, stunting of his growth just because we're being stubborn not getting rid of Gase. If there's another year of him not being able to get anything done offensively, you have to get rid of this dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is what we go through. And speaking of, you know, flip-flopping, Rich Cimini about a week ago came out with a story saying the Jets were unlikely to sign Robbie Anderson. And Cimini's pretty accurate when he gives that. And now there's a story just 2 days ago from Tony Pauline saying the Jets will pursue Robbie Anderson. You know what?
We're all over the place, huh?
We're all over the place. Now, again, could it be fake news being spread, narratives? Who knows? Now, I'll ask you this question. Do you think that Douglas dropped the ball not trading Robbie Anderson at the trade deadline?
No, I don't, because if you took away Robbie Anderson last year, then what weapons were you even giving Sam?
Right.
Crowder and who else?
Yeah.
I mean, that you couldn't. I mean, you were just leaving Sam with nothing at that point. And I know you got to think bigger than that. But I don't think they're in a. I mean, if they want to re-sign Robbie, they can.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it was that much of a mistake to not trade him last year.
Right.
Because he really is the type of guy, Mike, and I do believe this, that when it comes to trade value, I don't know how much teams want to give up to get Robbie Anderson.
Right.
I don't know how much. I couldn't even think, like, compared to other players, maybe a team would give up a third, right?
Right.
You know, player-for-player trades don't really happen in the NFL very often.
No.
So usually it's draft picks, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you could get an end-of-the-second-round pick for him with a trade. That could have maybe happened, but they held on to him so Sam Lee's had another weapon and they could still re-sign him. But I think teams are much more apt to give him some money in free agency. Yeah. Than to trade for him.
Yeah.
I think he's that type of player where they want to hold on to their draft picks, and if you can sign someone like him in free agency, good.
Yeah.
But he's still somebody that, because of, you know, the lack of variety in what he does as a receiver, obviously big play guy, obviously takes the top off of defense. You need guys like that.
Right.
He's got the hands, but he's just not somebody that's overly physical, as we've spoken about. He's not going to go over the middle, break a tackle, bust a run. He's not going to do things that like guys like Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, or Michael Thomas are going to do. Guys that will break tackles and then get yards after they even get hit a few times.
Yep.
So that's why he's in that gray area where I could see a team giving him. And Mike said this, Mike's right, and I was wrong. I should give Mike credit. Mike said this about a month ago when he was talking about the amount of money he thought Robbie would get. I think you were saying about 13, 14, 15 million. I disagree.
Around there.
Yeah, I disagree with you. But now the more I thought about it, dude, you're right. Because insofar as a short-term contract, say a team gives him a 3-year 36 with 25 million guaranteed, right? I could see that happening because he's the type of dude, if there's a really good team. Like say you added Robbie Anderson to the Chiefs. Just hypothetically, Robbie Anderson, they don't need him, they have Tyreek Hill. But say they didn't have him, say you just put him on the Chiefs.
Right.
He could have 1,400 yards.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the type of offense they run and the type of the quarterback they have.
Yeah.
Okay, say you put Robbie Anderson on the Ravens next year.
Oh, God.
Okay, he's better than any receiver they have.
You're right.
So my point, there's teams you could put him on, and his stats would be...
You could put him on the Saints. And have him opposite
put him on the
Thomas.
Tank. And these are all teams where the reason why he would do so good is unlike the Jets, where teams would be like, all right, the Jets don't have that many options on offense.
Yeah.
So if they're going to pass the ball, they're either going to go deep to Robbie Anderson or short to Crowder.
Yep.
Teams could try to take away what we do.
Yep.
On a team like any of the other ones we mentioned, you have to think about, oh my God, they have Mahomes. They have Hill.
Yeah.
They have Kelsey.
Yep.
They have a good running back. They have Williams. They have all these other weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think he's better than Watkins now, Robbie Anderson.
Oh, absolutely.
So say you subbed him. I'm just, this is hypothetical. You subbed him in, he's a better player than him.
Yeah.
If you put him on the Ravens, all you're thinking about is Lamar Jackson because he's so dangerous from every angle, right?
Yeah.
Put him on the Saints, like Mike said. They have so many good players. Their quarterback is still so good.
Yep.
So there's places he could go and get good money. And this is my long way the way of saying that's a reality for me. But I don't see last year on the trade deadline teams giving up enough to the Jets to make it worth it for us.
Right. So, look, if we end up signing him for 12, 13 with, you know, guaranteed. Now, the one thing I was going to say that we were talking about with Quincy Enunwa, there's an injury clause in there with Enunwa. I was researching and the Jets, because of the language that McCagnon has in the contract with Enunwa, if he can't play, the Jets are still on the hook for like $8 million.
Oh, they didn't maneuver themselves out of
it. They didn't maneuver out of it, no, because of the language that they was in the contract. So nice job, Mike McCagnon, for having that put in there for an injured player. So even if he can't play, we're still on the hook for like $8 million.
Yo, but even if he can't play, you can just cut him.
Yeah, you can cut him, but he's still gonna. But it's still dead money owed to him that we would have to pay.
Yeah, no, but if say I know that, but if you they'll owe it to him, but if you cut someone, you pay away like 20%. So as far as the cap goes, they'd free space up, but they'd still owe him the money.
So we'll see.
That, it's another,
yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't.
That's a nice present Maccagnan left us there. Then
I know. I know. I just found this out about a week ago. I couldn't believe it. But
no, Mike, they signed Doxson, which is kind of like whatever. You know,
what do you think about that? What do you think about that?
I don't have any real thoughts about it because it's not like he's been... He's whatever. You know, he had 500 yards a couple seasons. Yep. Last year was kind of incomplete for him.
He was hurt a lot, too.
I don't really have too many thoughts about Doxson. It's kind of it's like kind of a non-ish. It's kind of a
non... Good dart. I think it's a good dart to throw at the board, see what the deal is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a former, I think, first-round pick by the Washington Redskins. And
yeah, I think he's going to amount to nothing, though. What's more interesting is that the story is that ODB might want to come to the Jets, which is probably just because he likes New York.
Yeah,
and look, I get it. You're ODB. You're in New York, right? The greatest city in the planet.
Yeah.
All right, no doubt. Yeah. I know Mike's out in Texas, but guess what?
Yeah.
You don't live in the greatest place in the world anymore. Sorry, bro. And let me throw this at you too. ODB lives in Cleveland. Okay, now, Texas dominates Cleveland.
Absolutely.
Texas is one of the greatest places in the world as well. I'm not disparaging Texas in any way, shape, or form. Cleveland's not high on my list. Guys, I've been there. It's not amazing.
Right.
And he's there now probably like, yo, what the?
Yeah,
can I please? This train wreck last
can
year
I
that occurred.
Can I get back to NYC?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield turned into Johnny Manziel last year.
Yeah.
He's throwing balls to people's ankles the whole season, so I don't know what the hell happened to him. So I thought it was very, very strange. I don't want any part of Odell Beckham on the Jets.
I don't want him
near Sam Darnold.
I don't want anywhere near.
He's immature.
Near.
He's not a winner. Places he all teams do that he's on.
That probably won't work.
Teams
out.
That he's on lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's I know in the NFL. Like, the Giants had one season when they were 10-6 or 11-5 when he was there, that one of his years, 5 years there.
Right.
And it's because they had the best defense in the league that year.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not get it twisted.
Yeah.
Their defense that year was ridiculous. They went to the playoffs. They played the Packers. Odell Beckham dropped 4 balls.
Yeah.
He dropped 2 touchdowns.
That was the
shut your mouth.
The
joke.
Oh, they went in the boat. So it's like, they went in the boat. There was the name. So it's like one of these deals where I'm a big put up or shut up guy.
Yep.
So like you're gonna talk a lot of smack, no doubt, but like you gotta hold it down when the time comes.
Yep.
You gotta step up to the plate when it matters the most. You know, it's why the boxers and fighters in life, or even athletes in any way, shape, or form, that we all kind of love the most sometimes, even if they have a big mouth, is the people that back it up.
Yeah.
Yep. If you don't back it up, you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham to me is someone that in his career so far, I know he's had some great stats with the G-Men.
Yeah.
Okay, guess what? His stats with Eli Manning decimate his stats last year with this guy he thought was going to be so much better, right?
Yep.
Blow him out of the water, but
absolutely.
Eli's a scrub, right? Whatever.
Of course.
Whatever.
Of course.
Whatever with that, guys. In his career so far, his record, his win-loss record, Mike, for the teams he's been on is absolutely pathetic.
No, I know. And the craziest part, everything you said is 100% spot on. On Twitter, I had a Twitter talk with a guy named Joe Caparoso, who's the owner of the TOJ Turn on the Jets podcast. And he mentioned about Odell Beckham Jr. And I tweeted to him that, you know, Joe Douglas has said that setting the culture for the organization is one of his top goals. And I said that a move like this would actually be going against what Joe Douglas said from the day he came in as general manager. And then Joe Caparoso responds to me saying, I want a culture of catching touchdowns. And like, I look at him and I'm like, yo, you understand the amount of cap space this player is going to take up. Number one. Number two, you understand that he's a head case both on and off the field. You're telling me that the value that he brings to our franchise will outweigh the negative. I'm sorry. I don't understand how you can have an opinion of he's going to catch downs. We can draft receivers. We're going to go over a couple of these guys coming here shortly. We can pick up receivers. Yes, are they as talented as Odell Beckham Jr.? No, but they are much cheaper and they're much better to align with in a young team, core team like the Jets than a veteran like that. I just don't understand that line of thinking, to be honest with you.
Well, it's a line of thinking where, I don't know this person or his podcast or anything about this person, so I'm not going to disparage him.
Right.
Sure, he's a tremendous Jet fan, but I mean, what are we doing? Are you just trying to get clickbait or something? Because the culture of catching touchdowns, let's answer this question for me. How did that culture work out for the Giants?
Yeah. Kind of sucked.
Awesome, right?
Did it work out well?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about? Like, yeah. What are we doing? How did it work out for the Browns?
Well, since you asked. Browns went 6-10, which marks the fifth time in six seasons Beckham's teams have had a losing record. They sucked. The offense sucked. Beckham barely reached 1,000 yards. He had one touchdown all season until the final two games.
I mean, we're going to stick our head in the sand and act like all of a sudden, I don't give a crap. I don't care if a guy's the worst guy ever, the most me first guy ever. Put him on my team, I just want touchdowns.
Right.
That hasn't seemed to be a good recipe for success in the NFL.
Ever.
Michael Irvin, right?
Randy Moss.
Michael Irvin had also had Hall of Famers, offensive line, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame running back.
Right.
What is the... Go ahead. I want this guy to tweet at Mike. Tell Mike... tell Mike the team that had an ODB diva receiver,
right.
Me first selfish receiver, that won the Super Bowl and was a great team.
Yeah.
Who's that team? And I mean, who everything was about him.
Right.
I remember what Terrell Owens got there with the Eagles once. They didn't win shit. Like, we can name guys that are in his vein that act the way he acts and everything has to be about him. They don't win.
No.
They're not winners. People act like him, they're not winners. The cultures that seem to work in the NFL are the ones that have a really good quarterback.
Right.
You know how you score a lot of touchdowns is having a really good quarterback. That means more than anything else.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a really tremendous receiver, but the cost of that salary cap wise and then BS wise, nonsense wise, when we signed Santonio Holmes, how'd that work out for the Jets? When we had Keyshawn Johnson on the Jets, how did that work out?
Yeah.
We can go down the line of teams, not just the Jets, that have had a player like that on their team.
Of course.
And it hasn't worked out.
Yep.
Because for a variety of reasons. And last year, you all of a sudden heard rumblings out of the Browns. He's upset.
Oh,
he's this, he's that. It's like, I don't even want to hear it all.
So his point of the only culture I'm interested in at this point is a culture that scores offensive touchdowns. I feel like you're saying you can't have a good offense without an elite level value talent like Odell Beckham Jr. And that's just not true. I mean, like you just mentioned, the Kansas City Chiefs do have Tyreek Hill. They have a high power offense, but is Tyreek Hill as talented as Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't think so. He's a very talented receiver, but Odell Beckham is probably one of the most talented receivers we've ever seen. That may not be the best example, but there are teams out there that have very strong offenses, like the Baltimore Ravens, that do not have an elite receiver on their team. Now, I would like to have a talented receiver that we get in the draft and that we're able to cultivate, but I just don't see the logic behind getting a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., who's already looking to leave after being shipped out by the Giants, now 1 year in with the Browns being potentially wanting to be traded. It's not a good look, and I want nothing to do with it.
Well, why don't we just go through a few things? So, Odell Beckham had a meltdown when they played Carolina versus Josh Norman.
Yep.
And that was embarrassment for the Giants.
Yep.
Not too long after that, Eli threw an interception towards the end of the game. He went, kicked a net.
Awesome.
Kicked the net. It hits him in his head. A week later, he proposes to the net in the sideline.
Yeah.
He urinated like a dog on the sideline after a touchdown, if you guys remember that. He questioned Eli Manning as a quarterback and the offense completely. He can still throw, he's pretty safe, he's cool, catching those shallow routes, but I'm trying to take it to the house. That wasn't the first time he did that. And then he gets backed by his own GM of his team. Now, we're not even getting to all the other off-the-field things with him getting into a fight at a club, getting smashed by some dude, getting caught with pictures on him and some chick, there's coke in the room, do whatever you want, right? But how stupid are you?
Being on a
boat before a playoff game? How many things I just named? It took 45 seconds to look those up.
Yep.
The kid's, what, he's 26?
Yeah.
Wait, 5 years? You crammed that much stupidity into that short amount of time?
More. Odell Beckham fun facts. Odell Beckham Jr. has played in 76 career games in his 6-year NFL career. His teams have won a combined 30 of the 75 regular season games he participated in. 0-1 in the playoffs. That is a total record of 30-46, a winning percentage of 39%. In other words, His teams have lost 61% of the games he has played in as a professional. Furthermore, 11 of these 30 regular season wins came in the 2016 season, when the Giants went 11-5 with a dominant defense and didn't score over 30 points once the entire season. Which means, ODB's team's record outside of the 2016 season is 19 wins, 41 losses. He is, by any definition, a losing football player.
I don't want that nonsense on the Jets. What? It's just, it's such a dumb, no, it's just a lazy, stupid comment.
It ain't.
The situation kind of got heavy on me.
All right, Mike, so that was Jet Talk right there. Went to some news and notes there. We got some nice tidbits in there, I think, for Jet fans, considering the time of year we're in. But let's talk about the new CBA structure in the NFL right now. I think this was ratified, Mike, so this is going to be official. This is going to be gospel now when it comes to the NFL. 7 playoff teams in each conference. Season's going to go a little longer now, obviously. They're going to increase revenue sharing. You also changed some of the rules with marijuana. The commissioner is not going to be the judge and jury anymore. You know, so a lot of little tidbits here, yep. That seem to be positive developments. And I do, Mike, and I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what the Wookiee thinks. Yep. I do like the 7 playoff teams. I'm thinking a few years back, Mike, when the Jets, now we lost the last game of the season, but the Jets went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs.
Yep. Yep.
That's tough. And that's tough when that happens, you know. And I think when you get the 7 teams in there, you get one team a bye.
Yeah.
Which I like that. Yeah. I think one team gets the bye. I kind of dig that, you know. And that really works. So, one extra playoff team, I'm like, why not? I mean, that's I'm a Jets season ticket holder, so one more chance at making the playoffs for me and getting a Jet home playoff game is tremendous. I'm a big fan of that. The season going a couple weeks longer, it doesn't affect me at all. I'm all for that. The players might not be big fans of it, but I think they're gonna have 2 buys.
Yep. Yep.
So they'll stretch that in there. Revenue sharing got a bit of an increase, closer to 50%. You know, when it comes to the players too, Mike, even when it just comes to the country that we live in, the amount of, you can look at the problems we have as a country when it comes to drug issues,
right.
And there's a variety of them, but the biggest one in our country right now that's kind of an epidemic is the opioid addiction people have, the amount of opioids that get prescribed to people legally over the counter and stuff. And when it comes to the NFL, a lot of these players, this is going back 15, 20 years now, a lot of players, instead of wanting to take those things that are bad for your kidneys, bad for your body, bad for your overall health, they're very addicting, obviously we know. It's hard to get off of them.
Right.
It's ruined people's lives, led them down all types of different paths, left and right, the layman people. Now imagine you have millions of dollars, what your access will be. Instead of taking those type of drugs for pain, a lot of NFL players try to self-prescribe with marijuana. This goes back many, many years. But now this is finally something that they're not going to test for and let these guys kind of do what they need to do in some cases. Maybe some people are doing it recreationally, obviously.
Sure.
But I'm sure in other cases, there is positive benefits people can have when it comes to pain management.
Of course.
When it comes to your psyche, when it comes to lowering stress.
Yep.
You can go online, look up hundreds of different benefits it has for people medicinally. And Mike, also when it comes to CBD has a lot of... CBD is something also you used to not be able to, in the NFL, you shouldn't, they would test for that, you'd be in trouble. CBD is something that has a ton of different benefits to people. That's something I think is a really positive benefit for the NFL, because people that are going home to self-prescribe for things like that or just to smoke a little bit, it's kind of the same level as going home, someone who's going to have a six-pack. It's not even as dangerous in many ways, right?
Right.
But if you get tested and you get banged for that, you can actually be out of the league.
Yeah.
Well, no one who goes home and drinks a fifth of vodka is going to get tossed out of the league. It doesn't happen.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's that much more dangerous. And, Mike, the biggest one, and I want to hear your thoughts on all these too, Mike. I didn't mean to go on for so long, but the commissioner now no longer being the person who is judging what's happening and then also deciding the punishment, which is a mind-boggling power structure when you think about it, and how that was the case. I won't pretend like I know enough about the history, history of NFL CBAs to know how long that was the exact structure. But I know it's been that way for a while, and players didn't really like it. And I did not understand that, Mike. And I think that was something that needed to change, because you can have the commissioner, Mike, involved in one of those roles,
sure,
right? Maybe he's the one deciding, or maybe he's the one that's going to pick your punishment. But if you're doing both, there's no objectivity, there's no checks and balances in that situation.
No.
It's all just the purview of one guy's mind.
Right.
And that can't be the way a league like the NFL, you know, the most profitable league on the planet of Earth, billions and billions of dollars are involved here. You can't have a league like that set up that way. It makes no sense.
No.
Do you realize that the TV contracts are going to be renegotiated? And there's an estimate that they could double the amount of money that they're going to make.
Did you say double?
Double. Dude, this, just doing this, just doing what they're about to do, just adding a game and extending the season, the money that's coming in from gambling, from fantasy football, all the major mechanisms like podcasts and other things.
The NFL gets $1 billion a year from CBS, $1.1 billion a year from Fox, and $950 million a year from NBC.
Yeah, so that all those figures potentially will double
after this. Oh, my God!
Yes. Just think about that. Now, the money. Now, remember, all states that allow betting, you have five of them coming up in the next election that are looking to be able to bet. Think about if all those states actually end up legalizing betting, online betting and everything, the amount of money that's going to be coming into the NFL, it's too large for them not to get a deal done. They will get it done. And I do believe that the marijuana and the commissioner's changes are going to be huge for players. I know that Aaron Rodgers has already come out and said he doesn't like it. And there was another player, I think it was the center for the Steelers, Pouncey, came out and didn't like what with the extended season and games. Also, another change that they're going to have is right now on a bye, they don't get paid. And now in this new structure, they will get paid on their bye week. So there's a lot of provisions in here that I think are going to be player friendly and allow the players to want to play. But as far as the seven playoff teams, I love it. I'm absolutely in love with it because, Nick, think about a wild card weekend and divisional round weekend. We're going to have on wild card weekend a morning game, an afternoon game, and a night game all day.
And you'll have three division winners up against three. You'll have three division winners up against three wild card teams.
Yes. Dude, cool. I can't wait. And then you'll have one team in the cut chilling. And then
a full day at the bar.
You get three winners, and then the team with the bye team is going to go versus the lowest seed, and you keep going. Yep. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm for it. Nick, what do you think, Nick? You a fan of the seven teams?
I like it.
If it's going to make more games, like Mike said, three games in a day, it's an entire day of football, playoff football. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think, and I'm not sure about this, but they're going to have 17 games, but the regular season is going to be 19 weeks, and that's because it's going to have two byes in there for each team. And this essentially would push the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend, meaning a lot of people will be off work on Monday, so they can go to Super Bowl parties and have, you know, do what they want, and then they won't have to work on them. So I love the way they're extending the season. I mean, think about it. The Super Bowl would have ended last week instead of when it ended, right? So we have all, and I think the preseason games go down from four to three. So they get three preseason games and then they start the season. So from a fantasy perspective, I think it's awesome because we get more, instead of our season ending on week 13, I think it is, now the season would end on week 15 then, right? We would end our season.
Yeah, I mean,
and
if it's
going to
be a
19 weeks. So that means 18, 17, 16, 15 would be when the playoffs start.
Wow.
So yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's 15. Dude, that's 15 weeks of fantasy football.
That's a grind right there. That's a grind right there.
I mean, yeah, it's gonna be awesome to watch it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't have to go and play football for that long.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited about it. You guys both are really good with the way everything.
Yeah,
so far, yeah.
Yeah, I have no complaints.
Yeah,
I dig it, man. I dig the changes. I'm happy with everything they're doing here.
It ain't
the situation. Kind of got heavy on
the CBA guys. Yeah. You know, so some new players are going to be entering the league. Some neophytes, some NFL newbies, rookies will get drafted in April. They're doing the combine this week. The NFL meat market is here. You're getting measured. You're getting weighed.
Feel short.
How high can you jump? Yeah. How fast can you run?
A big yen.
You see those cones?
Yeah.
Run around them.
Don't touch them, though.
All right? Run around those cones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you must feel like an idiot when you're there, but it's for a good reason because you're trying to go ahead and make yourself millions and fulfill a dream.
Yep.
Mike, with the combine coming up, I'm not a guy who's going too deep in the weeds in the combine. All right? Right. When the stats come out, when I get some results,
yeah,
I'll take a look.
I'll take a look then.
That's how I do my business.
Sure. Yep.
But I know there's a different type of guy in the world. His name's Michael Garris.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's on top of these things. So I'm going to go ahead and let Mike tell us what's up and some guys he's looking at right now at the combine.
Yeah, so the combine's about to start. Look, the combine isn't something that's going to make you be like, I'm absolutely drafting this player today. But the combine can definitely tell you not to draft a guy like an offensive lineman that can't bench 225 pounds eight times, or a wide receiver that can't run the 40 in under 4.8 seconds, right? Over 4.8 seconds. You don't want to draft a wide receiver that's running that slow. So it can definitely take you off of the list, but it's not going to absolutely establish you as a great prospect. Now, the combine's about to start. A lot of Jet fans are looking. We know that offensive line and wide receiver are two of our biggest need groups. Edge, obviously, but I hope they're not going there in the first round. In my opinion, they're going to go tackle in the first round. I'll get to a few tackles that we're going to want to look at, but we're probably looking at receivers in the second round. So I wanted to start it off with a couple of guys that I think that in the second, third, fourth round, we may want to target and that have really tremendous upside. And the first guy I really want to talk about is Denzel Mims, wide receiver out of Baylor. 6'3", 207 pounds, arms 33.78 inches, and hands 9.38 inches. Big, big dude. He did 16 reps on the bench press, which is pretty good. You know, he's got above average combination of size and speed. He has a fluid stutter go move, which is really good. He goes up and grabs the ball, sharp focus on throws. He has full body extension, has a big catch radius, and really, he's very, you know, he's not a burner, and he's not like a big possession receiver, but he has a lot of size, talent, and he's very good at running routes. I would like everybody, you know, when you're watching the combine, watch this guy and see what he's able to do out there during the combine. Another guy I want to talk about is Jefferson. I know that, Henry Ruggs. So supposedly we're supposed to be, I don't know why, but it looks like Joe Douglas is very interested in Henry Ruggs. I think that we would have to trade up into the first round to grab a guy like this. Supposedly, Keith, Henry Ruggs is on target to break the 40 record. They think that he's actually going to do it. Yeah, they really think that he's going to do it.
Now, that's something, that type of stuff, that'll make me tune into the combine, things like that.
Yeah. They do. He's 5'11", 188 pounds. So he's not like, he's kind of like, reminds me of Robbie Anderson, to be honest with you. He's elite. He has elite speed, dude. He's got game-breaking speed. He's slick on the outside to the inside release, easy gliding strides as a route runner, and he torments coverage with change-up to fast route speeds, slow route speeds. He's a shotgun. Now, supposedly, this is a guy that the GM is interested in. I wouldn't be personally, because I feel like we already have somebody like this named Robbie Anderson. But this is somebody that they're looking at, and, you know, we'll find out if he's going to be on the board. So really, we would have to jump into the first round to grab a guy like that. The only other guy in the second round that I would really love to get is Justin Jefferson, wide receiver out of LSU. I don't know if you got to watch the national championship and you saw Joe Burrow throwing touchdowns all over the place. This guy caught like two of them. He's 6'1", 202 pounds, 33-inch arms. This guy also has good initial bursts off the snap. He's slippery, working around traffic and redirection in space. Naturally instinctive pass catcher. You saw what he did in the championship game. So I thought he was, I think he's a very good player, and he's somebody that we were able to get in the second round. So I would keep your eye on Jefferson. Now, going to offensive line, probably know that there's four prospects at tackle. So we've got Wirfs, we've got Wills, we've got Andrew Thomas, and we've got Mekhi Becton. And have you looked and saw the size of Mekhi Becton? I don't know if you've actually checked him out, Keith, out of Louisville. Have you seen his stat? How big he is?
I know. The only guys I know that are coming out, bro, is Becton, Wills.
Yeah.
Thomas. Like you said, Wirfs. Jones from Houston. So, like, Jones. What's his name? Becton's like 370 pounds.
Dude. He's
6'8" or something. Some crazy.
What's his name?
He's about to be 6'8". He's 6'7".
Mike, he's Louis. Mike, he's Louisville, right?
Yeah, Louisville. Yep.
He's Louisville. Okay, okay.
What's Louisville. His name, Mike? His name is Mekhi Becton. Yeah, dude,
now the other day I was watching. I have my Surface research done just on offensive linemen, and they had some on NFL Network about the NFL offensive linemen. The reason I know, Mike, I was eating cereal and I looked up. I'm like, who the hell is that dude? He's taking up like the whole screen.
Son, he's 6'7", 364 pounds. He's got 35. Check this out, dude. He's absolutely giant. He possesses a 7-foot wingspan. That's rare. You never see that. He's got huge upper body. He's huge. And you know what's crazy is a lot of these draft experts are saying he could go number 4 to the Giants. Like, that's how high he could go because of his... No, I'm serious. You guys may draft this dude. Number 4 overall.
He's like the size of Braun Strowman from WWE.
Oh my god. 6'7", almost 370. God bless him.
And if your name is, first of all, another guy, Mekhi? Though, it's a strong name.
Awesome.
Mekhi Becton's a strong name. A strong, powerful name.
Yeah.
That I respect.
Automatically on the list. No
now, Tristan Wirfs, good player.
Yeah.
Right? Not a strong last name. Okay?
The way I feel about it is Wirfs and Wills. Okay, Jedrick Wills out of Alabama, Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. Strong guys. They're awesome. But here's the thing that I don't really like about them. They're interchangeable. Like, they play guard. They play tackle.
Yeah, right. You're right.
I don't, you know, they're really talented, but they're not like a left tackle. Okay? Yeah. There's two left tackles in this draft that I really like. It's Mekhi Becton, who is a left tackle.
Yeah.
And the other guy is Andrew Thomas. And
Mike.
I first knew about him because you sent him to me.
Yeah.
You texted
him. Oh, Thomas, yeah, from Georgia.
From Georgia. He's 6'5", 315 pounds. This dude, you know, he was the number one rated offensive lineman in the SEC, okay? And the thing, you know who all of the draft scouts say that his career projects to be like as? DeBrickishaw Ferguson.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? Right. He projects to be DeBrickishaw.
He made plenty of Pro Bowls. It's a great player right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he to me, if you ask me my opinion, okay, and I don't make my opinion, you know, quiet, I put it on here. I want Andrew Thomas. That's what I really, really want. Because I think he's the safest cat.
But Mike Becton, when they showed some of his tape, like, say right now you go down to Brooklyn, Wookiee.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We scoop up a whole bunch of like 140-pound little hipsters.
Right.
We toss them into Bouncy Castle.
Sure.
We let you in.
Oh god.
And you just start leveling cats. That's what Becton looked like in his tape.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
people flying
yeah.
in the air.
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
the kid off the walls.
Kid is 6'7", almost 370. I mean, that's a monster. That's yeah. not even a man anymore. God bless him.
Oh god. Because that's his. That's yeah. like his. That's his nemesis in life. Yeah. Just so you know. So if you're listening to this and you are a hipster, we still love you. I got love for you. But Wookiee just wants.
Really hate you.
But Wookiee just wants to hit you. If you know Goldberg, he
right.
wants to spear you on the cement.
You can get a spear.
Mess your hair up.
Look, if you see it coming, shave, trip me. You know, touche. God bless you.
Shave your beard off.
Yeah. Yeah, I got. Yeah.
And then
for those dark, you know, those navy blue shorts with the white lobster print.
Yeah,
that's you know. Not,
and then and
not
then
cool
and then take your smoothie you have.
Yes, I will.
And I go home and I drink it.
I drink your milkshake.
It ain't the situation kind of got heavy on me.
We had a heavyweight championship battle.
Yep.
This weekend, Mike was watching it down in Texas. We were texting during the day. You know, I had some people over here watching the
yep.
fight. Me, Wookiee, Chesterfield Estates. We had a whole bunch of people yep. over here. Little disappointing for me, Mike, for a couple reasons. This is why. Now, I'm a Deontay Wilder fan and I'm a Tyson Fury fan. I respect both those dudes, both
right.
tremendous fighters. And I didn't know who's going to win going into the fight. It was pretty much, if you look at the betting odds, up until a day or two before the fight, it was pretty much even money.
Right.
Right before the fight, a little bit more money came in for Wilder. But even going in, it was pretty much even money. And Fury, such a good boxer. In my head, I'm like, yeah, is he going to get caught again? I'm not sure. But Deontay Wilder, all I've seen him ever do, every single fight, even his last fight versus Ortiz, the previous fight versus Ortiz, you can go through his whole career, is he's going to get you at some point.
Yeah.
Even the first fight with Fury, twice, he got him. Caught him out there.
Yeah.
And he weighed like 212 pounds that first fight. So in this fight, I really felt confident. I'm like, you know what? Wilder looks bigger. He looks good.
Right.
I think he's going to get it. And this is how fights work out, bro. In the first, Mike, you saw the first three rounds, pretty good. Yeah. Back and forth. Wilder landed some shots. Fury landed some shots.
Yep.
Fury looked a little bit better. I thought Fury won the first couple rounds. Wilder may have sneaked out one round.
Yep.
But Fury, Dante, Wilder, they both look good.
Yep.
Third round, when Fury, the ref separated and they went, boom, Fury landed a combo right away.
Yep.
Punch to the ear, you know, boom, hit it.
Wrap over.
After that knockdown,
yeah.
Wilder was just never the same, guys. Nope. His legs were never the same. You saw that. His equilibrium was off. His ears bleeding in the corner.
Yep.
Yep.
But eventually the announcers finally started mentioning it.
Yep.
But to me, Mike, it came down to in the fight, like, after that happened to him, he was compromised. To me, when I was watching,
yep.
And I watch boxing all the time. I was watching, I, like, worried because I'm like, the way he was falling down and, like, it just seemed like
he didn't
have his balance. And I know that can happen when you get hit with a good shot. Don't get me wrong. You can get hit on your chin and feel wobbly. But right. This is different. When you get hit in your ear like that, when you mess with your eardrum, that's a different feeling of unease. That you know, your legs are jelly legs.
The guy, you know you're bleeding out of your ear.
The dude standing in front of you, even though he doesn't necessarily have knockout power, he's 6'9", 270 pounds.
Yeah.
So I was worried because after that happened, he looked like he wasn't defending. I was like, oh, man. I'm surprised, Mike. I'm surprised he even got to the seventh round, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think that after he got his eardrum busted, that was it.
That was it, bro.
You know, dude. Fury, I like listening to Fury, and he's very charismatic. Very good. I like that I'm interested in boxing again because it has been so long since I used to love Mike Tyson fights and love when, you know, fighting Evander Holyfield and Riddick Bowe and going all the way back in the past, you know. And after, you know, Lewis ended up losing to Klitschko. Yeah, after Lewis lost the belt to Klitschko, and Klitschko had it for all those years, I just lost interest, man. But these guys, Wilder, Fury, they got me back interested in the sport at the heavyweight level. And I hope to see, and I believe we will see, a third fight between Wilder and Fury. And after that fight, do you want Fury to go and fight Joshua so that he is the heavyweight champion of the world, period? Like, he has all the belts and everything, and then Wilder fights him? Or do you want them to just fight a third time, and then he goes to fight Joshua?
No, I mean, as fast as those two guys can fight each other, and by those two guys, I mean Fury and Joshua, that's what I want. Because fight itself, he hit him on the ear, the way that it went, he ended up getting a point taken from Fury in the fight.
Yeah.
But there's no way to say he still wouldn't have won either, even if that didn't happen, because he was fighting great, Fury. So I'm not going to, he might have whooped Wilder anyway. Mike, I just want to, when, at the end of Lennox Lewis' career, he beat Vitaly Klitschko, then he just retired.
Yeah.
It was after
Klitschko,
but
no, I apologize. Okay.
And then he just I just wanted to double check because he beat Tyson. And after that, though, what happened is that the Klitschko brothers took over the heavyweight division for a really long time. Then there was intermittent guys that no one cares about, that I won't go through the list of them, that were heavyweight, quote unquote heavyweight champions, right? And you know, Klitschko was the dude. He lost to Fury. Fury had those titles. You're like, all right, here we go. You know, and then Fury kind of had his own issues in life and stuff. And then come down to Joshua and Klitschko. Joshua beat him. So, like Mike said, the way the timeline's gone through here, with now you have Joshua holding three of the belts, you got Tyson Fury holding the other belt.
Right.
But not just holding one belt. He's actually the guy who everyone looks at as the heavyweight champion because he never lost his belts.
Right.
He came back.
Yep.
And he had a draw versus Wilder, but he's won all his other fights. So that's the guy to me, even though he only has the one belt. That's the chance
to me. Yeah.
You know, as far as I go, it's just like when before Tyson back in the day fought Trevor Burbick to get his last title before he was unified champion, you didn't look at Trevor Burbick as the heavyweight champion. You're like, no, Mike Tyson.
Right.
That's even though you have a belt too.
Oh, of course.
In this case, Joshua has three and Fury just has the one, but it's flip flopped. But in my head, I'm like, well, Fury to me, that's the heavyweight champ. Like, Joshua has to prove it because he lost to Ruiz, who that's not a Deontay Wilder.
Right.
You know, he's out here fighting dudes, Joshua. He hasn't fought
Luis Ortiz, he hasn't fought Wilder, and he hasn't fought Fury. You know, I mean, he hasn't fought any of the guys to me that you look at as the best heavyweights.
Right, right.
And he still has a loss.
Yep.
Where Wilder's out here, he fought Ortiz. He's fought Fury twice. He's fought Ortiz twice. Fury will fight anybody.
Yep.
Fury don't care at all. So
yep.
I got mad respect for both those dudes because of that. I'm not saying I don't have the respect for Joshua. He's a great fighter too. But and he doesn't have as many fights as those guys. He only has 24 fights, but he needs to step it up to me.
Yep.
He needs to prove it. He has an automatic title defense coming up soon for one of his belts. After that, I want him to step up and fight Fury.
Right.
Because why wait?
Yeah.
What do we got to wait for? You know?
Yeah,
you might have to because of contractual reasons and they're on different networks. They're signed to different networks and stuff. And that Wilder fight, Deontay Wilder has a clause in the contract for this fight that within 30 days, as long as he exercises it, he can get a rematch.
Oh, shit.
So,
okay.
And that rematch will be within 6 months, I believe, unless I heard that wrong the other day. So I think in the rematch, and he made some excuse about the gear he had on, you know, his entrance stuff. Yeah. And his knee and this and that. Yeah. That wasn't what happened, bro. You got your ear blasted, which is no fault of your own. Fights happen, bro. You get blasted ears sometimes. You know, you got knocked out, bro, and say they threw the towel in.
Yep.
Because I was saying this to you guys earlier. If you say, imagine you never lost a fight.
Right.
You had one draw, and you've knocked out pretty much every single dude besides one you ever fought.
Yep.
You're not giving up.
No.
Dude, that type of dude who's never lost a fight.
No.
That dude's not going to be like, even though I don't know what up from down right now, because my whole entire world is right now.
Yep.
Right? Those type of dudes, they're not giving up.
No.
So that's to his own at that point, that's to his own detriment.
Yep.
This isn't.
Your corner has to throw it out. You know what, guys?
It doesn't matter necessarily the size. You could be fighting 135. You could be the size of these guys, right?
Right.
But if you are fighting a dude who's 6'9", 270, and you're at compromised, and you're not necessarily defending yourself, it doesn't matter if one shot doesn't drop you. You might get hit with 100 shots.
Yep.
And that'll put you in a bad spot. That can mess you up for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
So I do think his corner did the right thing.
Yep.
You know, and I do think they did the right thing because he could live to fight another day now.
Sure.
He could fight Fury again. You never know what happens in the third fight. See, he wins the next fight. They could even fight a fourth time. You know why? They have a draw.
Yep.
So you have one guy with a win. Another guy with the win.
There you go. Again.
And a draw.
Yep.
So you could go to a fourth fight to have the
even more money for those guys.
That's what I'm saying, guys. So, I just got wild. I got hyped up. You know, the fights went the way they went. I was bummed out for Wilder, but Fury is a great fighter. To me, probably the best fighter and the best heavyweight in the world right now. I'd love to see him fight Joshua. That would be a tremendous fight. But I think Joshua is going to do what he has to do right now to not fight Fury.
Right.
Agreed.
That's what I feel.
Right.
That's what I feel because he pulled some like little shadow games to me, kind of not trying to fight Wilder, but then he would say Wilder was trying to not fight him.
Right.
It's okay. Like some Floyd Mayweather.
It's like
stuff.
That reverse psychology method.
Yeah.
Where Wilder's legit out here fighting everybody. So he's like, what are you talking about, man? He's trying to make that money. He's like, I'll fight you. I want to make $15 million. Why would I not want to fight you?
Right.
Where Joshua was still at that point, this is like, they say 2, 3, 4 years ago. He had 17 fights, 18 fights, and Wilder had a lot more fights than him.
Right.
So he probably didn't want to fight him then.
Yep.
That probably makes sense.
Okay.
Times have changed now. Maybe they fight now. But I would love, Wilder's going to be one of these dudes. Say he goes and he loses to Fury again. He's going to go knock everyone else out.
Oh, sure.
So he's going to have to come around. Joshua's going to have to fight him at some point.
Oh, it's never.
You can't just duck him your whole career.
You have to duck, you can't.
You
duck.
Know?
So if you want to be honest, I wouldn't even, I would not fight, if I was Wilder, I would not fight Fury. I would fight Joshua, get the three titles, and then have Fury come get him. I would, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but
Wilder,
that's,
I fight Joshua, get the...
Sorry, it's tough because of the way that it's set up, like, he has the automatic rematch clause. If he doesn't go after the automatic rematch clause in the next 30 days, Wilder,
right.
Then it lapses. Fury never has to fight him again. If he doesn't
right.
want it. He can automatically
and that's
get it
fine.
Right
and
now.
That's
right.
And that's what I'm saying. That's fine. Let Fury have the belt. What I would do is go fight Joshua. I just lost, right? I would fight Joshua, get the other three belts, and then look at Fury and be like, what's up?
That fight would be great.
Right? Wouldn't it?
That's on a Rothenberg show about Fury and Wilder possibly selling out Wembley Stadium.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that's a ton of fucking people.
They probably meant Fury and Joshua.
The two Brits.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, they could probably... Well, they've sold out Wembley before. They could probably go to England. Crazy. They could probably say they had like a 200,000-seat arena.
Right.
doesn't exist. But say they had it over there, they could fill that up with Brits because it's a Brit versus a Brit, right? Which is cool. So, right. And I'm sure everyone will take sides with the guy that they like and stuff. And, you know, it's just tremendous, man. It's just, if those are the two best guys now, it doesn't matter what country they come from.
No,
of course. I just want the best guy to be the champ.
Yeah, right.
And I want to see who the best is. I want undisputed heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
That's Muhammad Ali. That's Mike Tyson. Yep. Like, not a lot of guys had been the guy who everyone's like, no, that's the guy who has all the belts.
Lennox Lewis had them all. Lennox Lewis had them all, right?
Yeah, no, Lennox Lewis had them all. And like, as you go through the lineal champion, there's guys we all recognize. You know, it was Mike Tyson, and then for, you know, Buster Douglas beat him, but Buster Douglas' next fight, he lost to Evander Holyfield. That was his entire existence was from one fight to the next, and he was gone.
Yeah.
And then it was Holyfield. Then it was Running Bull. You know. Then we had Lennox Lewis. You know. So then we had the Klitschko's. So but the Klitschko's were just not exciting. When all the heavyweights went to Europe, we're going on forever, dude. We gotta wrap this up. I'm sorry, guys. We're nerding out on boxing. We're an hour and 9 minutes. when all the heavyweight boxing, there was a lot of guys from Europe. There was a 7 foot dude. I'm getting his name from Russia. These dudes. It was like when you don't have the American market engaged.
Right.
It's tough. You know, it's tough.
I just remember watching fights. I was like, "Why? This is people hugging each other. Like, I don't want to watch this."
But you know what would be cool? What if, like, they're like, they announce, all right, you know what? Like Mike said, Deontay Wilder's not fighting Fury, but he's going to fight that Ruiz in, like, 6 months. That'd be ill. Ruiz upset Joshua. Like, now at least you got four dudes that are interchangeable that could all have cool fights.
Right.
You know, there's another guy, another British fighter named Dylan White, who's ranked fifth in the world right now, who's really good. So, I mean, there's a bunch of good heavyweights out there. All right, but guys, yeah, we just bored you with some, that was our 15-minute boxing podcast at the end of the AEBG podcast right there. But we wanted to say thank you, everybody, for listening, joining us, as always. Happy to be back. It was a tough week last week for me, but here I am back, rocking out with the boys, back at Crystal Lake Studios. And, you know, the podcast is always therapeutic. We thank everybody for listening to us always and supporting us. Mike, and if anyone does want to tweet at our show, contact us, contact you, contact me, contact the Big Stinking Wookie.
What's up?
Where could they do that?
Well, we are hosted on the Elite Sports Radio Network. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. Please follow us on Facebook at AEBG.JetsRadio, on Twitter at AEBG_NYJ podcast, and on Instagram at jet.AEBG.
You heard the man. On behalf of the biggest Jet fan in the state of Texas, Michael Lagaris, and the Big Stinking Wookiee, Nicholas Kronk, my name is Keith Farrell. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Get at you next week. Peace out.
Hey, this is Joe Namath, and they say it ain't easy being green.
Are you ready?
Can't wait.
The New York Jets
can beat any day in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
The New York Jets.
I think Jet fans.
Bird.
Very passionate.
Bird.
Thank you, all you fans.
They got their guy.
Darnold falling to the Jets.
Sam Darnold.
Damn, Darnold.
That's such an upside.
I think Jet fans.
Very passionate.
Brady sucks. Don't be sucks.
To all the non-believers.